B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Well, I can't really tell you what's in his MRIs. That's personal information. But this was not in his MRI. This is brand new. This happened Tuesday. There's no question. That's what causes the inflammation. When they read the MRI, they know that it happened on Tuesday.
Do we buy that, by the way? Again, Marshall Hook in our update studio, Big Jim Murray in the Maz chair here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday. Sox, Sale, Pats, Gordon getting to all of these things. Dave Dombrowski makes a point of saying this is a new injury. It happened Tuesday. That's what's clear. HIPAA laws prevent me from saying anything, but this is new. This is new. He didn't have this. This happened on Tuesday. Do we buy that, Hook?
I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, he's pitched like ass all year long. That's true, but...
Because they're covering their tracks, that's why.
Well, but if he had an injury, why wouldn't he have said as much?
Because he wanted his contract? I don't know.
But he got his contract in March.
I haven't pieced all this together.
Take development.
Take development. But, you know, he has sucked for a full calendar year. And he was shut down at this time last year. And now, a year later, he's staring down the barrel of Tommy John. And Dombrowski, maybe I just don't trust the Red Sox when they're so clear and definitive on something.
I mean, this is true. And they get them wrong more often than I think they lie about them. But here's the thing. So the contract's done, right? The contract's done before opening day. If they think that this is a possibility, wouldn't they have wanted him? Like, if the knife is inevitable, wouldn't they have wanted to do that in April, forever ago?
But maybe you just answered the question for me. It makes him look bad if this was a pre-existing condition. What are you doing giving this guy a 5-year, $150 million contract when you know he's got ligament damage in his elbow? That's why it's to cover their ass. This is new. He didn't have this last year when we gave him the contract. That's the answer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they knew that he had a shoulder issue. That's what's helped him break down the last couple of years. But an elbow thing?
Was it shoulder or elbow? I mean, I don't know. I mean, anyone who's watched
Chris... I'm with you in that. I don't believe anything that comes out of the Red Sox mouths when it comes to injury. Never. Ever, ever, ever. Because they're usually full of it.
So this one to me is just, woof. He'll be, again, Tommy John is a year plus. It's not just a year. It's a year plus. And a lot of times these guys are better off than before. Like Evaldi came back better than before.
This is my one thing that says maybe this is good news.
Yeah, but it's just a 2-year thing. I mean, we got to hook. In 2 years, we're going to be hit by an asteroid.
Yeah, but,
the grid could go down. I mean, you know how long we're talking before Chris Sale comes back to begin? I think you'll see him next. This is my prediction. And watch, here comes the breaking news that he just has inflammation. He'll be back in 2 weeks. But here's my prediction. You'll see him sometime in the middle of spring training 2021. Do you know how much can go wrong? The world can collapse in that period of time.
More than likely, too, in fact.
Thank you. Right, in fact, yes, I would say so.
But
I would say so.
If he's not injured and he just sucks, well, then what's... I mean, you still got him signed up for the 5 years and 150 or whatever the number is. You still have him signed up for that. At least this gives you a tiny little chance that there, in fact, was something wrong with him, and that's why he sucks, and so maybe you recoup something on the back 3 years of this contract. Because if there's no injury... And you signed this guy.
And he's just Tim Lincecum, who started to suck.
If you just signed this suck-ass guy for 5 years, well, then there's no way getting out of it. At least this gives you that tiny little bit that, well, maybe there is something here we can fix. And yes, he'll be gone for a year and a half. But maybe when he comes back, he'll be Chris Sale again.
That's a fair point. That's just in a year and a half, man. It's like, oof. And in the meantime, you've played out the Mookie Betts window. And... I've been pretty consistent about this. I just really feel the Sox are in. This is the middle of their championship window, and they've got to be going for it every year because the reset is coming here in a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, but you get the building block of a really good core, at least with two players in Bogaerts and Devers. I don't think what you've seen from them this year. And Bogaerts, now it's two straight.
Here's what I'm sick of. You're like, so wait a minute. Now Mookie Betts is overrated and Devers is the guy.
Yes.
Because last year, at the exact same time, if I asked you that, you'd say Devers is expendable and Mookie Betts is the guy.
Yeah, well, things change.
Well, no, it goes back and forth. You've got to sort of play it out over the long haul. This is what happens. A guy gets hot 1 year, comes back to earth the next. I guarantee you.
Betts don't want to be here, so you have to move on from him.
The odds are excellent. I think it's far more likely that this time next year, We're talking about Mookie Betts as an MVP and what happened to Rafi Devers. You know that's how that goes.
Well, I hope it's somewhere else we're talking about that in the National League where Mookie Betts is. We're talking about that.
Why are you so eager to trade him?
He has to go. A, he doesn't want to be here long term. And B, you have to replenish your pitching. You need young pitching, like McCarthy was saying earlier.
And
your rotation as of right now, at least for the rest of this year, is Eovaldi, who sucks. David Price isn't coming back. Eduardo Rodriguez
is your starter. Where'd you get Price isn't coming back from?
Just a gut feeling. Eduardo Rodriguez is your ace, de facto ace right now. And who, like Brian Johnson? They're cooked. And so what is it for next year? It's a 35-year-old Price, and he'll break down eventually because you know that's going to happen. And then what? Porcello's going to be gone. Eduardo Rodriguez, and then what?
So trade bets for pitching. Tell me what pitching I'm getting. Am I getting major league ready pitching? Like, for sure, you know, major league arms?
Yeah, talk to the Mets. Some of the guys, like, you know, pitchers in their 20s, their mid to late 20s.
I don't think it really matters how good Betts is. Betts could be Mike Trout times two. It doesn't matter. He does not want to be here. He does not want to be here.
Okay, he does not want to be here,
and he can walk away at the end of next year. And if you let him do that, regardless of whether you think he's overrated now or underrated or is going to be an MVP five more times, if he does not want to be here, you letting him walk away for nothing is irresponsible.
It's time now for the DN Van Lines moves around the league. They want me to mention a high-profile move, trade, demotion, et cetera, around the league. This is it. To me, Hook, then you sacrifice as good as you can be for another chance at a championship next year? I'm not willing to do that.
Well, I think that window, you think the window is far more open than I do. To Jim's point, exactly what pitcher is going to helm your staff next year in your World Series run? Which guy is that going to be?
So I don't know. I know the league still sucks.
That's a problem.
I know the American League blows. And my lineup is still going to be the best in baseball, or top three at worst. And all I need is some representative pitching to get right back to where I was last year. And so I'm not sacrificing that. We talked with McCarthy earlier about that. If they make a real baseball trade, and you know it's DeGrom or Syndergaard or you know something like that, where I get a you know surefire front of the rotation guy, okay, I'm sacrificing some offense, but I'm much better in my pitching staff, and maybe I net out to be a better team. I'm not doing anything that makes me a worse team next year if I'm the Red Sox, because I think that day's coming where they're going to have to take a reset. Now, these guys think that the Sale injury plays into that, because without Sale next year, now you're really porked, so there's really no use having Mookie Betts next year. So hit the reset button next year with a new GM, a new superstar, a big trade, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
I'm with Hook on this. It would be criminal to see Betts walk for nothing. And when you have him as your best asset to move this offseason, you got to get something in return. You have to get young pitching.
Okay, making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need. When you call my mover, DN Van Lines. All right, back to your phones. As promised, here's our obligatory Chris Sale to closer call. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You know, I think it's going to be the same song and dance every year with Chris Sale. He's going to break down. I think to you really utilize him to the best ability, I think you might have to move him to closer.
Okay, so I just can't tell how many times we get that call. It's one thing to say Nathan Eovaldi can close at $17 million a year. Chris Sale makes 30. You can't. He's a starting pitcher.
No, if he were to come back this year and you know they got closer to that second wild card spot, okay, you know, stash him in the bullpen because you don't want to tax his arm any more than he would have to as a starter. But no, he's supposed to be a starter. This year you can maybe get away with that like you did with David Price a few years ago when he dealt with going to see Dr. James Andrews and had an arm issue. You can do it then, but not long term.
Okay, here's a Jerry in Rhode Island on a perplexing Patriots issue. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Kicker Bailey, he also does field goals. He's done that before. I saw an interview with him when he was in college, and he talked about that. And they signed Ryan Allen, but he only has a $100,000 signing bonus, so they could dump in him in a second. The other thing is, what is Chicken Little over with the hat on think about the left guard? I mean, he was whining about it all season long.
Okay, the left tackle.
Yeah, the left tackle.
How'd you feel about Isaiah Wynn there, Chicken Little?
That would be Chicken Little with the hat on. Yes, sky is falling. No, it looked pretty good. Left tackle, Isaiah Wynn. You know, I was certainly nervous about that position, but keeping in mind it was one preseason game. Let's see how it looks going forward.
Okay, so I
feel less nervous about it. How about that?
Yeah, I think it's encouraging that he's just out there.
Yeah.
you know, after it felt like
nothing at OTAs, was practicing very little when camp started and wasn't really working at all. And they had him on the other side, you know, side of the field, like not working with anybody, not even practicing in shells. And all of a sudden he's out on the field and looked pretty damn good on Saturday night. I'll take it.
So the first part of the call was about this punter, Bailey, who's just, oh my God, some of his punts are just, I mean, he rips the ball. And again, I know this sounds sort of stupid for me to carry on about hang time, but it's legit. That free kick after the safety, I think it was a 67-yard punt with like 5.5 seconds of hang time. You understand what a bomb that is? And when you go back and watch it, like he doesn't even take a big run up to it. It's like he's
he's got a serious leg, that kid.
Oh my God. It's just a bomb. And so I think Ryan Allen's gone. You know, I see you later. The only thing is it crawling into Meat's head on the field goals? Because Gostkowski's right in midseason form, shanking 37-yarders and whatnot at key times. And Bailey, the rookie, was his holder in this first one. But you're saying the first game it was Allen, huh?
Ryan Allen was the holder in game one of Detroit with that missed field goal.
No, so...
No, he's just a mental case. Doesn't matter who the holder is.
Exactly. His problems are his own, not the punters. We continue with the Red Sox and Chris Sale and the Patriots. Thoughts on that night on Saturday in Tennessee and the Josh Gordon reinstatement. The conspiracy theories related to it. We get back to that right after this.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Brady now over 300 yards for the game. 83rd time in his career. Looking for all of it. Unloads to the end zone. Caught by Gordon. Touchdown, Patriots.
You want to be there for Josh Gordon. You want to support Josh Gordon. You want to count on him. But you know you can't count on him. If he's there and plays much of the season, that's a boost and a bonus for the Patriots offense. But he has proven time and time again that he is somebody that no team can count on for the course of a full season. But you'd much rather have him than not in New England's case. They're without Rob Gronkowski. They're without some other offensive weapons. They need help at the wide receiver position. And so they will do their best to support him, try to look after him, take care of him, the hopes that he can be there all season long. Everybody wants him to be there all season long. He struggled to do that in the past. You hope that he can do that now.
Thoughts on the Josh Gordon reinstatement. What are your thoughts on the Josh Gordon reinstatement, Murray?
Well, twofold. One, I was surprised that it actually happened because you had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick talking about him in a past tense, really, when camp opened up, especially Brady, you know, and he referred to him almost just as like any other guy. Well, I needed someone to throw to when he was asked about what was that like throwing to him in your backyard in Brooklyn. Oh, I needed someone to throw to. So he was just around, you know, like the pizza guy. But he literally referred to him in past tense, and then Belichick talking about him in a way like, oh, go ask the league. That's a league issue. I just figured, oh, his demons got the best of him again. Hooks got in him from, you know, weed or booze or whatever, and that's it. We're not going to see Josh Gordon again. And then bang, just like that. 6:30 Friday night, he's back, and no suspensions? Nothing? So great. And I think he's certainly value add when you look at that roster. And to me, it's Julian Edelman and a bunch of question marks. Demaryius Thomas, you know, he's dealing with a torn Achilles. He's rehabbing that, and I think he's soft anyway. Philip Dorsett, he's okay-ish, but he's like a 3 or a 4 in your roster. It's Edelman and question marks.
How big of an impact do you think he has?
In terms of...
I mean, how big of an add is he to the team? How big of an addition was he last year?
Oh, I thought he was. I mean, he was here 11 weeks. The last two were mostly useless, especially the game in Pittsburgh where he pulled himself off the field. But like in games like against Indianapolis, no, he was a factor.
So I think his impact was a little overrated last year. And I know Greg Bedard agrees. He wrote over the weekend, Gordon was not dominating last year. He did not keep defensive coordinators up at night like Randy Moss. And he was not a real difference maker. The Patriots were just 6-3 in the games that he played. At least 48 snaps. He played 11 games, the first two he barely played.
And I would agree with that. He's not like a game breaker and stretch the defense type of guy. He's not at this stage in his career, but he can make catches in traffic, and he'll go over the middle, and he'll help. Again, looking at the roster and guys that are dealing with injuries, because N'Keal Harry looked good for the couple of catches he made against Detroit in that first preseason game, but dealing with a hamstring injury or wide receiver, to me that feels like that's going to nag all year. So they need help there.
Bedard points out that Gordon also had the highest drop rate on the team. So, to me, there were two distinct sort of phases with Gordon last year. The first was them going over the top to him and trying to get him to stretch the defense and, you know, just forcing him the ball with these big play attempts that I hated and sucked and hurt the team. And the nadir was that game in Tennessee just before their bye week where they scored only 10 points. Brady chucked it up to Gordon 12 times. He caught only four of them. So, low percentage, just chuck and duck, trying to force it to this guy down the field. I hated. And so did they. Because when they came out of the bye, they had a whole different approach with Gordon. They started throwing to him underneath, started playing with him in the possession game, stopped sending him down the field, stopped forcing the ball down the field. The very next week, the first game out of the bye was at the Jets. He had five catches on five targets for just a 14-yard average, 14 yards a catch average, which is low for him because he averaged 18 yards during the season. Next game versus Minnesota, three catches on three targets. Next week at Miami, five catches on nine targets. And then he got to Pittsburgh. He only had one catch on two targets. And remember, he was benched on that last series as they were trying to score. So by then, I think, you know, he had already left the reservation. Yeah. Maybe they knew it, and it was sort of, it was the end of the, I was going to say the beginning of the end or the end of the end at that point in Pittsburgh. But when they came back from the bye, they used him differently, and I'm all for that. But this whole thing's about stretching the defense. Like, I just think it's so overrated and so low percentage and, frankly, leads to bad habits from Brady. And so,
the Tennessee game, as you said, that's the greatest example of that. I hated that. 12 attempts to him that game? No, that's all.
Feh. So that's, you know, how they use him to me is important. If he's just another possession guy, great. Big and strong, he can wall off defensive backs and, you know, win contested catches and tight windows and all of that. Boundary plays, red zone plays, great. I just don't need to chuck it to him 12 times a game deep down the field. I think that's silly. But I think there's value there for him. I think it's obviously good news for the Patriots. I think the overreaction, though, is nuts. And this is my conspiracy. I just wonder if the media cartel is trying to feed us something on Josh Gordon because they're trying to prove a point to Brady. You know, back to the Brady thing. You thought there was, Murray, a media cartel at play pumping up Jared Stidham because maybe they're greasing the skids for Brady to leave eventually and Stidham might be the next guy. So it's the...
Yeah, I found the timing of that very interesting because it all came like, you know, this is the best rookie I've ever seen, you know, in camp at quarterback for the Patriots a day after the fake contract extension is signed and we find out that Brady's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I just found that a little curious.
Okay, so subtle little things between the quarterback and Belichick, and is the pumping of the Josh Gordon return part and parcel of that? Because Brady, I think, is agitated by what he's being surrounded by. How could he not be? Human nature. And he's throwing to Gunner.
Well, you remember that it was the quote.
Not just the Gunner, but
yeah.
Gunner.
Yeah, after that Thursday practice where he goes 3-for-8 throwing to Gunner Olszewski, Braxton Berrios, and Dontrell Inman, who's since been released. He says, it's been interesting. It's been interesting, which is what you say when you grit your teeth and you try to say something nice about something that's actually terrible. It's been interesting.
And this is in a contract year. This is the first time his numbers are really going to matter in terms of the money. And so Brady's a human being, and I think he's a little agitated by what he's surrounded by. So if there's a little bit of a back and forth, well, here's Josh Gordon. How do you like it now, Tom? And Jeff Howe writes on The Athletic, the lead. In a flash, the Patriots' group of wide receivers became a strength.
A strength?
He says, the thought of the Patriots' receivers now at full strength is tantalizing. And just like that, he says, a position question mark has become an explosive strength.
No, that's patently false. It's still a question mark.
The
position
God.
As a whole is a question mark. Julian Edelman, you know, you can count on him. Although, he does have a broken thumb, and will that contribute to drops this year? But outside of him, who can you truly count on? Demaryius Thomas? No, soft, coming back from a torn Achilles. N'Keal Harry? You hope, but he's been dealing with a hamstring. He makes two good catches in that first preseason game. No one's seen him since he got sent back to Boston. Philip Dorsett? Fine-ish, but he's a 3 or a 4. Maurice Harris? Who do we know? He was a Redskin.
Might not make the team.
Right. And so now Josh Gordon. Okay, you see what the potential was in the 11 games he played last year, but he's also as reliable as Dwight Gooden was when he was with the Mets.
This is my point, and I just like saying it because it sounds dramatic, but it's also true. Arguably the most unreliable player in the history of pro sports.
It is true.
So not arguably, one of, he is fact, not opinion, fact. One of the most unreliable players in the history of pro sports. And so suddenly he gets a conditional, because it is conditional reinstatement by the league for like the fifth time.
I think it's fourth or fifth time,
conditionally reinstated by the league. One of the most singularly unreliable athletes in the history of pro sports gets a tentative conditional reinstatement, and now you've gone from a question mark to an explosive strength? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's not just Jeff writing this, too. I've seen this from a handful of people, and, you know, that's Mark Daniels, Providence Journal, tweeting this, too. Like, oh, wow, like now Brady's got all these weapons. Like, theoretically, again, who... I hope that it works out with some
The old saying, and it applies to this one as much as one day at a time. Remember that one?
Right, yeah.
Like, good God, he's got to make it through today, pass his test tomorrow, get up and go to work on Thursday. Let's see if he gets through a week, because he's had trouble doing that.
Man, again, not just him, too. It's the other guy. So Jacoby Myers has looked great in camp. He's had two really good preseason games. Can we wait until the regular season and he plays one real game?
Oof. So anyway, there's your Josh Gordon thought. So we've got this and everything else. Let's go back to your phones. Glenn in Lowell on Josh Gordon. Go ahead, Glenn.
I just had a little comment about Josh Gordon. Do you happen to remember about 10 years ago there was a player for the Texas Rangers I think his name was...
Josh Hamilton?
Something like Holiday.
No, Josh Hamilton. Excellent, Murray. Josh Hamilton, for the Reds Hamilton? And the Rangers, yeah.
Right. Then he got traded to the Texas...
Yes, sir.
Then he got traded to the New York Yankees.
What about it?
And the Yankees tried to, they tried to suspend him for life.
So what's your point, Glenn?
They tried to suspend him for life for marijuana use, and then the CBA took the league to court, and the league lost in court, and it was said that they could not suspend a person.
Okay.
They found that was a disease.
I got you, Glenn. I'm going to cut you off. It's more than marijuana with Gordon. Trust me.
This misconception is starting to drive me crazy.
Oh, because it's a way to lessen his transgressions or put it on the league or, you know, it's more than pot. It's a lot more than pot. So stop, you know, please give me a break. Now, maybe this last one, maybe last year it was just a weed thing. I don't know what the last one was. But his track record, his history.
He himself has admitted this GQ article from a couple of years ago where he does a Q&A and talks about everything that he's had issues with, from booze to other, you know, really hard drugs. It's not just weed.
Much more than weed. But I think the NFL is taking a different approach with these drug guys who, you know, as long as there's no violence or abuse or breaking of the law, you know, where you're hurting other people, if it's just your personal drug use, I think they're trying to take a different approach of rehabilitation and mental health and that sort of thing and putting them back in the workforce and working with them versus
definitely
just banning these guys, which I think is a good thing to try. And I think that's...
Yeah, because there is a difference between guys like Josh Gordon who are using it, it feels like, as more of a coping mechanism than someone like Adam Pac-Man Jones who goes and gets hammered in a nightclub and bashes the bottle over someone's head.
Right, or shoots up, you know, bouncers in front of a strip club or something. Yes, yes. So I think they're right to make that distinction. I think it's a worthwhile effort to work with these guys versus just, you know, suspension, banned, because that doesn't work either. So fine. So I think you catch a break there that they're trying this new sort of approach. Just don't delude yourself into thinking he just likes weed and that's it. Because that's I don't think it's it by a long shot. Here's Hook's update, and we're right back.
Sports Hub headlines.
Still waiting to hear what the verdict on Chris Sale's elbow is. The Red Sox ace-ish meeting with Dr. James Andrews down in Florida today after an MRI revealed some elbow inflammation over the weekend. It is unlikely at this point, or at least that's the feeling out there, that he'll pitch again at least this season. As far as the team, they're off tonight. They're going to open up an abbreviated two-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies tomorrow. Rafael Devers named your American League Player of the Week today. The Patriots back on the practice field this afternoon. Their next preseason game, number 3, that'll be against the Panthers Thursday in Foxborough. Julian Edelman in pads today. He's trying to make his way back from a thumb injury. Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas also in the field, but not in uniform. Dontrell Inman not there at all. Team cut him yesterday after he asked for his release. Antonio Brown back at Raiders camp today in the top college football AP top 25 is out. Clemson, the top team in the nation in the preseason poll for the first time in program history. The update being brought to you by Bridgewater State University. Get back on track at Bridgewater State University this fall. Visit bridgew.edu/admission to explore your opportunities. Classes begin September 4th. I'm Marshall Hook of Austin's home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update in about 30 minutes.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sports
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk world down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the snap. Bailey the hold. Kick on the way from Gostkowski. And that is no good, too. That is left. As the Patriots fail in an attempt as they try to take the lead.
Midseason form. Fascinating story to me. Fascinating. Sounds like a second guess. It's not. I'm not telling you to get a new kicker. I'm not telling you to bring a kicker in anymore. I have in the past. But now it's just like acceptance is the price of freedom, right? Bill Belichick's not going to mess with Steven Gostkowski, no matter how much he pays him, no matter how old he gets, and no matter how much he continues to suck. Mason Sousa, the diabolical prick who is producing for us today, he's usually Adam Jones's henchman, or one of them. He wrote our email exchange. Gostkowski. LMFAOOOOOOOOOO. What does that mean?
Laugh my
effing ass. Yeah. Why all the O's?
Oh, it's a
emphasis.
All you kids today. Sort of me like Damian Harris, big triangle greater than Sony Michelle.
Yes, it's very much like that.
You go Gostkowski, LMFAOOOOOOO. Mason writes, you are truly one big bag of suck. He says there's competition at fullback for crying out loud, but G continues to get a free pass. Nothing will reach the Malcolm Butler benching decision, but this is a distant second for strangest Belichick coaching strategy ever, which I do. I find it fascinating. He is, Gostkowski for the last 3 or 4 years was, I think, the highest paid kicker in the game, maybe second. He just re-signed. I'm going to look up his contract right now, but he's still up there. It's not like he left much money on the table. I think he's...
He's got to be behind Tucker, though, in Baltimore at this point.
So I'm just going to look. Highest kickers in the NFL. Stand by. Do-do-do. 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 Over the cap. Justin Tucker's one. So Gostkowski's down to 4. He's number 4 right now. He is... Justin Tucker's one at $5 million. Robbie Gould is second at 4.75. Graham Gano with the Carolina Panthers is 4.2. He's tied for third. Steven Gostkowski tied for third at 4.25. The third highest paid kicker in the NFL is good for one missed field goal or extra point every single Super Bowl or AFC title game. Every single big game they get into at the end, the final, whatever their final game is, he's good for a miss in it.
It's a lock.
I mean, he is. He's good for at least one. This last one, there were two, wasn't there? Did he miss an extra point and a field goal in this last game or just an extra? I can't remember. He missed one.
He definitely missed a field goal.
He missed a field goal. So every single last game that they play, this guy's missing a kick. He's 35 freaking years old. He's the third highest paid player in the game at his position. And he is having a crappy preseason. Now you tell me, Patriots fans and followers and chroniclers, you tell me what player at what position is the third highest paid at 35 and is struggling and doesn't at least get competition, if not outright lose his job.
I've never heard anything like it.
90% of the guys that I just described, 35, overpaid, struggling, are on their ass. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Right, never mind competition. You're out. You're cut.
But at the very least, Bill's drafted a player in the last couple of years to come compete with you. He signed someone off the street and is messing with you in training camp by giving him reps. I mean, give me another example where there isn't at least someone in. So again, it sounds like I'm calling for it. I'm not. I'm just saying, wow, interesting that this is the one spot and the one player that Bill just suck as much as you want, buddy. I'm not bringing anyone else.
And the only logical explanation to me is that he doesn't bring any competition in because it will further exacerbate his mental weakness. For Steven Gostkowski, I'm talking about. Like, it, maybe any kind of competition would send him even down a darker spiral in terms of misses and getting the yips.
Oy,
and Ted Johnson and I were on together yesterday, and we discussed this very thing. Like, how is it that the guy who, you know, could have gotten some votes for the MVP of the Super Bowl in your punter, he gets a competitor.
And is about to lose his job.
And is going to lose his job. But this guy who... You know, and listen, much of my time on this program has been spent arguing with you over the you know, value
anything,
of
everything.
Gostkowski, specifically that player. But I'm fully on your side, and Ted theorizes it simply comes down to Bill likes him. Like, yeah. He's one of Bill's guys.
I agree.
And Bill's not going to make him feel bad about his job.
But maybe it's also smart in that I'm not going to cut the guy because I like him. Okay? So if I'm not going to cut him, and if I bring someone in, if I bring someone in to mess with Brady, that's going to get more out of him because Brady's wired that way. And if I bring someone in to compete with, I don't know, name it, Dante Hightower, he's going to respond because he's built that way. If I bring someone in to compete with Gostkowski, is he going to turtle? Because he's built that way and is built, I'm not. So again, I'm.
That's the only thing that makes
maybe
sense.
Maybe it's
to
a
me.
Smart play because Gostkowski's that fragile.
Yeah, it'll turn him into a puddle if he sees someone looming over him.
I don't want to steal takes, but Matt McCarthy back there made the point yesterday afternoon that Bill has tried to replace Tom Brady at least once, but never has he tried to replace Stephen Gostkowski.
No. He's tried to replace Brady more than he's tried to replace Stephen Gostkowski. That's McTakey said that earlier. I think it's true.
Indisputable fact.
Oh, it's just staggering. So you hate Gostkowski, huh, Mason?
Oh,
hate's a strong word.
I don't hate him. It's just that
you don't trust him.
That absolutely not.
Me either.
There is a zero clutch factor. Zero. I can never trust him. Do you remember it was what NFL Films or Sound FX talking about this past Super Bowl?
Oh yeah.
Belichick needed to convince Bill.
No, it was just
Brady needed to convince Bill to kick the field goal.
Oh no, Bill was going to go for it.
So even Bill doesn't trust him. Why doesn't he have anyone?
And
camp.
And even that kick went like...
Totally. Totally. So I do. I just find it a fascinating case study in how Bill handles that position. And probably at the end of the day, he's right, because he usually is.
But I was with you that it was the holder thing. So it was Jake Bailey, the new punter, that held for him on Saturday night with a miss. So I was like, well, that must have been the case on the first game, too, against Detroit. No. No, it was Ryan Allen who was holding for him. So it doesn't really matter who it is holding for him. He's just got some issue going on.
Okay, so the Patriots and your thoughts on Saturday night, the Josh Gordon reinstatement, the Red Sox and their 5-game winning streak. You in on that hook? Huh?
Yeah.
5-game winning streak?
No, not at all.
Okay,
it doesn't matter. They could win 14 in a row. It wouldn't matter. They'd still be 6.5 out, and there's nothing to watch for.
Okay, so these guys don't want to acknowledge it's like it doesn't exist, the Red Sox 5-game winning streak. Does it exist to you? How about Chris Sale and what's coming down the pike there? Ominous signs on Chris Sale. Your calls on all of it in our long commercial-free segment next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Drops back to pass, and he's pushed and knocked down by Chase Winovich, who wins the battle on the offensive-defensive line. And there you go. Chase Winovich has his first sack in a Patriots uniform as he absolutely destroyed Tyrell Crosby.
They're chipping Chase Winovich. They're not allowing him to rush now. They have identified as an offense that this guy is a problem.
On 3rd and 5, Tannehill pressured, and who's he brought down by?
Chase Winovich.
Chase Winovich is having a first half, to say the least. For the New England Patriots, he's been one of the bright spots. The kid out of Michigan has been dominating tonight.
All right, Chase Winovich, one of those kids it's hard not to get excited about. You watch in the first two preseason games. I mean, took over in this game the other night. Took over, for crying out loud. Now, again, it's obviously against backups, but that tells you that he's better than the backups.
Right, you're standing out against your competition. And at the very least, it just proves you're going to be a decent enough depth piece, even if you don't become like, the next Javon Curse or anything like that.
Well, at the worst, you should be, at the worst, somewhere between the backup level and the starting level.
Yeah.
Let's see what it is when he gets against starters. But against backups, you can't block him. But Dart had him with 7.5 quarterback pressures on Saturday. 7.5. And in the first game, I don't know, we're looking it up, how many pressures he gave him. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's something like 12, 13, 14 pressures on the quarterback through two preseason games. I was also handed this. Pro Football Focus says that the Patriots' Chase Winovich is pulling ahead of former teammate Rashawn Gary in the preseason. The most pass rush win percentage in the preseason since 2015, Chase Winovich is 3rd. Mario Addison is 1st. Deshaun Hall, who I'm not sure, for the Eagles, is number 2, and then Chase Winovich. So he's just all over, one of the young guys that's hard not to be excited about. I'm also excited about your young running back, if you can believe it. Johnny in Texas agrees with me on Damian Harris. What do you got, Johnny?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I haven't called into the show for a while, but when I saw the Damian Harris talk, I had to call in. I've seen every single snap he's ever played. I covered him at Alabama, and I'll tell you right now, he's a lot better than Sony Michel, especially when, how many times last season was it so frustrating? Was 3rd and short or maybe a 4th and inches and they went for it and Michel just had no knack to get that half yard or whatnot. Damian Harris doesn't fumble. He's a tough, hard nosed kid, and he picks up the block like no other back that they've had in a while. And one more thing about Michel, They have to utilize him in the pass game somehow this year because he was electric at Georgia doing that. He caught over 60 balls in 4 years with the Dogs, and every single time he was on the field this year, it was strictly we knew he was running. So the stable of running backs they have between White, Michelle, and Harris, they're definitely a ground and pound team. They're going to play defense, and I know you hit it, Felger, but they're going to be winning more games 13-3 like they did in the Super Bowl than 56-48. Thanks for taking my call.
I don't hate winning. I just think you better have good quarterback play in the league or you've got to be perfect everywhere else. And I just think the quarterback play is too important. It's too hard to win the other way. You're threading the needle the other way. So if they really want to win all their big games 13-3, I don't like their chances. But be that as it may, to me, the thing that stands out is the passing game. Is Damon Harris in the receiving game showed more in one preseason game than Michelle's shown in over a year here.
What was it, 4 for 4, 32 yards, something like that?
4 targets, 4 catches. A couple of them were not easy.
Yeah.
Now,
he's definitely got a knack for it, and that's something I couldn't agree with the caller more about, was with Michelle last year, every time he lined up, you knew it was going to be a run play. Run play, Michelle's in the backfield, run play, and it was after the Jacksonville loss in week 2, because I remember Brady trying to force a few to him, and he dropped a couple. It was just kind of a mess. That was it. It's like he completely went away from him. They stopped trying to use him as a receiver out of the backfield. They're apparently working on that a bit at camp, so great. They should, even if it's just going to be as a decoy, because every time he lined up, After week 3 on, you knew it was going to be a run and play.
There's also something about he's never on the field. That's an exaggeration. He has an injury history.
Yes.
He got spotted by injuries last year, and he's not out there now, but Damon Harris is. So there's something to that, too. Like, maybe, hopefully, Harris pushes Michelle. I've been promised this explosiveness by Michelle and a factor in the passing game. If I see it, I'll call it as I see it.
Because he was at Georgia.
It's just like, last year, he wasn't that explosive.
He wasn't.
And he was a non-factor in the passing game. But he was fine. He was good. He just wasn't that thing that I was, that was advertised coming out of Georgia. Maybe Harris brings him out of it. Maybe Harris being out there gets him on the field, for crying out loud. Danny in Bellingham on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, yeah. I mean, we don't know too much about exactly what's going on. But like you said earlier, I don't trust anything the Red Sox say about injuries. But I can't help but think that what's going on right now smells a lot like what happened last year. The only difference is the kind of reasonable expectations of how this season might end. And I have to wonder if the Sox were in a similar position last year, if Sale wouldn't have ended up getting surgery, or if they didn't think that they were going to be in contention this year, if it was like a one and done kind of thing, if he wouldn't have already had the surgery. And if he does end up getting shut down and it's Tommy John and he's out next year, does that push up the reset window? Do you have to get rid of Mookie because your window's gone without him?
So these guys think so. I don't.
Oh, I do. I mean, I think you absolutely. This now proves you have to move on from Mookie Betts in this coming offseason.
Okay, finally, we have our breaking news on Chris Sale, the latest right here.
This is breaking sports news. Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
According to Jeff Passan, Boston Red Sox ace Chris Sale does not need Tommy John surgery.
Hey. Wow.
A follow-up today with Dr. James Andrews confirmed the diagnosis of elbow inflammation. His return date is unclear. But for Boston, he writes, this is excellent news.
Oof.
This is David Price all over again.
I was wrong. I thought he was toast. Ooh, I thought he was toast. Okay, well, I'm glad I'm wrong. Fine. So that's huge. That's huge. So just inflammation in the elbow.
Yeah, I'm very rarely optimistic. But again, I remembered with David Price a couple of years ago, it all felt ominous. It felt like what was going on with Price this weekend. He goes down there. Turns out didn't have to go under the knife. Take some time off. They stash him in the bullpen. And he was good in that role. So maybe this is what they do with Chris Sale. If they continue to go on a winning streak, they get, into the wild card here. I think that's what I would do with him. You don't put him back in the rotation right now.
I wouldn't pitch him again this year regardless. Like, this year is a lost year for the team and for him. If he's got elbow inflammation, well, then go ahead and rest the elbow.
Is it a lost year officially? Like, it's over?
To me, yes. Yeah, 100% it is. Yes.
Hold on. They're 6.5 out, and they got how many games left? 40-something?
Yeah, but how long have they been 6.5 out? They were 6.5 out a month ago.
No, they were like 2 out a month ago. Then they lost that 8 straight. That's what put them to 6.5 out. They were mostly within a couple games the entire year.
Yeah, but they got to 2 out after winning a bunch in a row after being 6.5 out. You take over the entire stretch.
No. They weren't 6.5 out till they lost that 8 gamer after the trade deadline.
I don't know anything.
You're asking for
I didn't say that, Hook. I said they were in shouting distance the entire year.
It's not even for just them to, you know, have a really good end of August, end of September. You're asking the Tampa Bay Rays to go sideways. The same with Cleveland and Oakland, who was also ahead of you. Those things aren't going to happen. They have easier schedules than the Red Sox. The season's ultimately over. So even if I was trying to be optimistic, saying, well, maybe they play in for the wild card, you stash them in the bullpen, ultimately Hook's right. You just shut them down. It's it. The season's over.
Okay, so what's causing the inflammation? That's what I know. If Maz were here, that's what he'd say. And is, I'm sorry, so read the report again. Was there no ligament damage? Is that what
he's expected to avoid Tommy John. Now I'm reading the entire story. Expected to avoid Tommy John surgery after a second opinion on his injured left elbow from Dr. James Andrews confirmed previous diagnosis of inflammation.
Okay. So he avoids Tommy John, but that's not to say that there's not ligament. There's, you know, because as it's been described to me, that, and McCarthy, you can help me out. It's the UCL, they call it?
Yeah, and Passan goes on to say, initial readings showed changes from the MRI he took in the spring, but they weren't clear enough to definitively judge whether there was damage to his UCL. So it doesn't exactly sound like he's entirely out of the woods yet, but right now, no Tommy John. There's no reason to go under the knife. The question is, does this guy get better? Right. That's the major question.
So, as I was saying, that there's, you know, you look at that UCL in a pitcher's elbow closely enough, you're going to see some fraying or some damage, and the question now becomes, when do you cross the threshold of surgery versus rest? And I always go back to Tanaka with the Yankees, who was right on the line and decided to rest it, and it, you know, never went under the knife and is still pitching. Now, you could say, has he reached his potential because he's always got a sore elbow or not? I mean, I don't know. But he sort of avoided it. Is Chris Sale on that line and they're just opting for no surgery, which, again, fine if they can manage it. But I do wonder about, does this go back to last year? And has he, you know, been, has he, does he have just a little bit of damage to that UCL to a certain point that's affecting his pitching, but it's not enough to get surgery?
Yeah, and to Hook's point, you know, at least if he had Tommy John, you could say, well, there was clearly something wrong. In some ways, the concern with Sale is this guy just going to continue to fade and break down? And maybe he'll never be truly hurt. Maybe he'll never need Tommy John. But is he the type of guy that's going to fade and wear down as this contract moves along?
Okay. I'm not closing the book on them this year. I'm sorry. I'm not. And
you're going to die on this hill.
But no, but again,
huh?
I'm not. I mean,
they have so much talent.
What? And nobody does. And no one else does. I mean, doesn't this weekend prove it to you?
They beat the Orioles,
exactly.
Mike.
Exactly.
They have no starting
point.
Pitching. They have no starting pitching.
And it
pitching.
Doesn't matter. They won three straight because the competition is horrible. That's my point.
Now, winning three straight against the Orioles has nothing to do with every other team in the American League,
sure
with the possible exception of the Kansas City Royals.
There's so much suck coming up on their schedule.
You didn't watch that game, did you?
No, I didn't watch a second of it.
That matters. That matters. Because they were down 6-0.
I know that.
And what it took for them to come back was worse than what, and I'm not exaggerating, it was worse than what you see in Little League. Balls bouncing off guys' chests, like the center fielder gets in front of a ball and
so
it
you
just
think the
bounces
competition
over
in the American
his
League
shoulder.
Is good?
They are, no, but they, none of them, no team in baseball is as jokingly bad as the Baltimore Orioles. None.
How many more
and
games?
I don't care what the win-loss says, they are so bad, and I'm pretty sure they have by far the worst record in baseball. Maybe Kansas City is close. Maybe the Marlins are in there. But the Orioles are a joke. They are beyond a joke. They are an embarrassment to the sport right now like no team has been in a long, long time. So, that's the team you needed a Herculean effort to get a sweep of.
Okay, so wait a minute. You're telling me that Chris Sale's not seriously hurt. It's just inflammation. He'll be fine with rest. Okay, I'm not telling the doctor.
Well, first of all, you've just stated like nine things that aren't true.
Well, but hold on, wait, what did they just say?
Ahead.
You read the report again.
Yeah.
He's avoided surgery.
For now.
So he doesn't need surgery.
For now.
So it's just some swelling.
There is swelling.
So
there's nothing wrong.
Shut him down for the rest of the year because the season's over.
What if he's fine?
Shut him down.
What if he's well enough to pitch? And you're in it.
Why prevent? You're not in it.
What this if you're
in 10 years of all your annoying takes? This is the most annoying.
Why is
annoying
it annoying?
Take.
There's a lot of bad. They got San Diego coming up for three games. They suck. They got Colorado for two. They suck. They have the Angels who don't suck as bad as everybody else.
No, they stink, but you still split with them with a four gamer the last time they were here. Nice to avoid the next two against Philly that they're going to lose, by the way. And then they have three against the Twins that they'll lose and another four gamer against the Yankees, which they'll be lucky to win one of those. You see Philadelphia again.
Well, hold on. Well, so why don't we just wait to see where they are at the end of that Yankee series?
Let's
just keep waiting. How many times are we going to do this with this crap team this season? Well, let's wait to see what happens.
Well, what's to lose if he's not hurt? If he doesn't need surgery, I don't understand.
Well, no, there's a lot to lose.
Why would you close the door? Did Dr. Andrews say shut him down or else he's going to get more seriously hurt?
Well, no, because we have a one-sentence tweet. That's what we have right now.
So wait a minute. But you read it. We broke into the show to read the breaking news. But
that he doesn't need Tommy John surgery right now. There's a really, really big gap between doesn't need a massive surgery on his elbow and you're, well, he's fine. Let's just go ahead and send him out there.
I just don't know why we're not playing out the season. Like, I don't get that. Like, that makes no sense to me. There's nothing to gain from. This isn't a lottery.
I'm sorry.
You're not trying to get more ping pong balls.
You threw
away
the entirety of a Celtic season before it began because you decided one of the best players wasn't going to come back. You have no problem tossing
away. What are you talking about?
You guys sat right here and told me I would be stupid to even care about the Celtic season because Kyrie Irving was leaving at the end of it, which, by the way, is true.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And this guy... and not the short fellow who's in the middle, and your producer all said, don't bother investing in the Celtics this year because Kyrie Irving's leaving at the end of it, so you're wasting your time.
I didn't say that. You did. I did not.
I came in here and had a 12-minute speech about it. I remember
No, because so you just remember you talking, not listening. I'd like the Celtics over the Bucks in the second round. You got the wrong guy. I never said they were going to – I didn't know how it was going to end for the Celtics. I'm not good at predicting the future. All I am is telling you what is. And the league
you're
sucks.
You're not good at telling us what is because you're not looking at what the Red Sox are.
What was the rest of that tweet? Real quick, McTakey. What did Passan say?
Hold on one second.
Yeah, see, X out of it again.
Okay, here we go. Initial readings showed changes from the MRI he took in the spring, but weren't clear enough to definitively judge whether there was damage to his UCL.
So, you know what I think this does? I want to pick this up on the other side. I think this calls bullcrap on the Red Sox. The Red Sox and Dombrowski's statement that this is a new injury. I think Passan just outed him. Let's pick this up. 90 seconds. Again, the very latest on Chris Sale. The news is good, although you wouldn't know it from these jackals. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.